You are listening to a special podcast produced by UMFM 101.5 in partnership with the Winnipeg Folk Festival, running Thursday, July 11th through Sunday, July 14th at picturesque Birds Hill Park. Winnipeg Folk Festival is a celebration of people and music that has been one of North America's premier outdoor music festivals for over 40 years. I'm Michael Ells, host of Thank God It's Free Range, and this episode spotlights the Lost Deans. The duo of Casey Jane Reese Kegler and Camille Wynn Weatherford originally made Portland their home but now reside in New Orleans. Their debut album, Meet the Lost Deans, was recently released on Garhole Records. The Lost Deans will be performing at Little Stage in the Forest on Saturday, July 13th at 1:30 p.m. For the full lineup, a complete list of set times, to purchase tickets, and for more information on the Winnipeg Folk Festival, visit winnipegfolkfestival.ca. All right, well, you'll get the chance to meet the Lost Deans when they play Little Stage in the Forest Saturday, July 13th at Winnipeg Folk Festival. Casey Jane and Camille from the group join me on the show. Welcome.
Thank you.
So as I understand
it, we're happy to be here.
Oh, I'm very happy to have you, and I'm looking forward to seeing you at the Folk Fest. As I understand it, the two of you moved from Oregon to Louisiana. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
What?
Yeah, we didn't know each other in Oregon, but we met here in New Orleans.
Oh, really? So it wasn't like a collective decision to move to New Orleans as a group?
No. Casey Jane moved a year before me, and we ended up actually meeting in New Orleans.
Okay. So
yeah, we met on a sidewalk outside of the Hi-Ho Lounge.
So what led each of you to Louisiana?
Well, I guess it was music. I actually had never been to New Orleans before, but I had some family friends that needed a subletter. And I also had met our friends, the Deslons, who at the time were called the Tumbleweeds. And I just felt drawn to what was happening here and had a feeling that I should come. And I think, Camille, what was it for you? Something similar, right?
Yeah, I had visited New Orleans a few times, and I always just thought it was such a unique place. And I had some friends that started to move down there, and they were all playing music and doing some really cool stuff, and just felt like the obvious place to be.
So the type of music that you make, like, was that stuff that you were into, and because of that you were drawn to New Orleans?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah.
I would say so too. Yeah, there's so much amazing music that happens in this city. It's really inspiring, and a really strong songwriter scene. But yeah.
How soon after you met did you guys decide to start making music together?
Well, we were both already making music individually, and that's kind of how we got to know each other better, by being involved in a couple of projects together. And then I guess I'm not really sure what led us to, we just learned some songs as a duo and enjoyed playing them together, and it just kind of naturally formed.
Yeah, we got asked to play a show, right, for New Year's Eve in Nashville. And I think a couple days before the show, we're like, oh, we should probably decide on a band name.
Yeah. But we had been playing as a duo before that, just for fun. And I think it pushed us to get a little more serious about it.
So that show prompted the name, and also like kind of hunkering down as a project?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we were, like Camille said, we were in some other groups together before too. We had like a acapella doo-wop group with some friends of ours called the Carondelets, and we would just do covers of like girl group songs and Go Busk on Royal Street with those. So we'd been singing together for a long time before we started the Lost Deans.
The girl group element is still there in the Lost Deans, but there's some other elements as well. How conscious were you of like kind of what style of music you wanted to make when kind of starting this project?
I honestly didn't feel that conscious about it at the beginning. I think that we were just kind of influenced, or at least I was influenced by what I was listening to at the time and subconsciously writing songs that had a lot of that influence. And then we would just bring it together with our harmonies and with the rest of our band's style, and it kind of created what it is. I'm not answering that right now. But I think that we were a lot less conscious of how strongly we were pulling from these influences at the beginning.
Yeah, so much of it is like a collaboration with our bandmates too. So I think that their style has a really big influence on it as well.
Camille, you mentioned, you know, the music that you were listening to kind of filtered in. Like, were you listening to it for inspiration or just like for enjoyment, and you just found that the style that you were kind of into bred some of the song styles that you ended up creating?
I was listening to it for entertainment. When we first started Lost Teens, I was really into like girl groups and R&B and soul from like the 50s and 60s. And I think that just kind of, and like a lot of country also. And I think it just subconsciously manifested in my songwriting.
Now, you didn't write all the songs together. Casey Jane, like when it came to songwriting for you, was there anything kind of filtering in, or like, are you as a songwriter kind of trying not to let that happen?
Well, a lot of these songs on this new record that we just put out are from quite a while ago, like when I also was listening to a lot of the same influences, a lot of girl groups from the 60s, and like Louisiana swamp pop. And so I do think that that had influence on those songs. But yeah, I don't know. I think I'm also really, really influenced by all of our friends who are writing songs here. And I think that you can hear that throughout the album as well. There's kind of like a little pocket of something different that's happening with our group of friends here in New Orleans.
Speaking of your friends, so you mentioned the Deslons earlier. Sam Duras from the Deslons was one of the producers on this record. Is that right?
Yeah, well, he's in our band. He plays drums in our band. And we co-produced it with Sam Doors and also Ross Farb, who has a band in New Orleans called Video Age. And Ross also engineered the record and mixed it. But we've been playing with Sam for a long time. And Hal Pearson is in our band as well, and he's also in the Deslons. And Gina Leslie, who is amazing and a songwriter as well.
So is this kind of indicative of the, like the New Orleans music scene, that like people are kind of involved in each other's projects and stuff? Like, is it like a very collaborative city?
Definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Everybody plays in everybody's bands.
Does that make it easier? Like, you're all kind of on the same page when it comes time to like being in the studio and recording, like that you kind of get each other, and it's not just kind of like a relationship specific to that record or to that project?
I think so, for sure. Yeah, I think everybody's kind of linked in a way that like it doesn't feel forced at all. But yeah, and I don't know, I think you can kind of hear it when you listen to other friends of ours' records as well. Like you can just feel the influence of everybody playing, even though everybody's songwriting style is so different, there's still something that's linking it all together. And I think that's because so many of the same musicians are playing on these albums. But what do you think, Camille?
Yeah, definitely. I think that there's like a certain intuition with playing with people for that long. And yeah, you don't really have to guide anyone in a certain direction. Everyone's just kind of on the same page with it, or they're contributing something really exciting. I don't think that I've ever been like worried about anything that our band wanted to play. It just always feels like a really, really great collaboration.
So do you bring the song to them and say, hey, like, flesh this out? Or do you have parts in mind? Like, how do you kind of divvy up the music?
Well, usually Casey Jane or I will write a song. We've written a few together, but we'll usually write a song on our own and then bring it to one another and work out harmony parts. And then because our band plays with so many musicians around town, we don't always have a ton of time to like work on songs together, but we'll usually bring it to them and we'll all work out parts. And it's, I don't know. You want to finish that up, Casey Jane?
Yeah, I mean, we've been playing so many of these songs for such a long time, but when we actually went to make the record and could be in the studio and focus on them, like really intentionally, that's when these songs became what they are now, for sure. And yeah, like we keep saying, it's just such a collaboration, and they all brought their own little piece to each song.
You also forgot James Wallace. He has a band called Skyway Man, and he actually doesn't live in New Orleans, but he flew in to work on the album with us and just like poured his heart into it for a week straight and didn't even leave the studio barely at all. So he was a huge part of the album.
James is amazing.
So if he doesn't live there, how did he get roped in?
We know James. He has a project called Skyway Man, which is amazing. If you haven't heard it, you should look him up. And years ago, we met him in Nashville. He lives in Oakland now, but he asked us to sing, me and Camille, to sing the backup vocals for his album called The World Only Ends When You Die. And so we just kept playing music together from that point on whenever we had a chance. And when we decided to make this album, there was kind of no question that James should be a part of it. We had him fly in, and you can hear him. You can hear his influence for sure all over the album. Most of the keys that are happening, and all the organ and everything is James.
Camille, I read a quote that you said the songwriting process is like a therapy session. And I'm wondering if you can elaborate on that or explain what you mean by that.
Well, a lot of times when I am feeling sad about something, it comes through in my music. So I don't know, there's something about sitting alone and playing the guitar and just having like that moment of solitude that does feel kind of like a therapy session. That's when all my like, even what I wasn't aware of, all of my like saddest feelings come through. So you can definitely hear that in some of the like heartbreaky love songs on the album. And I've actually consciously tried to not write only love songs, but that's what comes through the most naturally.
When you say consciously tried, like you're like, I'm going to write something that isn't a love song, and like thematically, I'm going to address something else, but it doesn't, you kind of pivot back towards love songs in the end.
Yeah. A lot of times, not always. That's what definitely comes through the most naturally. And I think it's just like what my heart is aching for is like, what is easily expressed, I guess, when I'm alone.
There also seems to be some like yearning in the songs, not just necessarily about like heartbreak or longing, but like yearning. Is that something intentional, or is that something that you see in yourself?
I'm not sure if it's so much intentional as just, what comes out. But yeah, definitely you're spot on with the yearning. I think that Casey Jane and I were both struggling or like dealing with longing for certain relationships when over the past like 10 years that we created this album.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we've been friends for so long now that a lot of these songs, you know, we saw each other going through these relationships or these heartbreaks, and that's kind of where it feels like a therapy session to me too, you know, because we've worked through this together as friends outside of the songs too. And so it is really therapeutic to like be able to come to your friend and share that and be able to like sing a song and make something productive and positive out of it. But definitely lots of longing.
Do you talk to each other about your songs? Like explain what you were writing or like reveal yourself behind it?
I'm probably already know.
Yeah, we just know. As soon as you hear a song, you know what it's about.
So you don't have to tell each other. You're at that point in the relationship creatively that it's like, yeah, I know who this is about. I know why you're writing that.
Yeah. I'd say so.
So the ones that you write together then, like, is it a different dynamic? Like, do you find you're a different writer or you're writing in a different voice when you're thinking of each other versus just writing your own material?
Well, some of them, you know, like A Tear, it kind of just depends on the song. A Tear came from a song that Camille had started that she was having a hard time finishing. So she sent it to me and I had a different song that I already was writing and kind of thought like, oh, maybe these could work together. And they did. But I don't know. What do you think, Camille?
Yeah, I don't know if we have yet written songs that we've like specifically tried to write for each other. I think more we've just collaborated together on things that we have already been working on, or Faith and Love, I guess, isn't on the album, but that's a good example of like Casey Jane saw something on a sign and thought it was a cool cool quote, and that's what kind of shaped Faith and Love. We were just like, oh, this should be a song, we could make this a song.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't written a song trying to come from Casey Jane's perspective, but that could be a kind of cool idea.
Yeah, we should definitely try that.
So for the Folk Fest, like, I mean, there's a lot of players on this record. Is it just the two of you coming up to Folk Fest, or are you bringing a band, or what's kind of the setup for the Folk Fest performance?
Yeah, they asked us to come up as a duo, so it'll just be the two of us. But we also have some good friends that will be up there. Our label mate, Nick Shoulders, he'll be up there with his band. And who knows, maybe we can get them to play on a song with us or something. But it'll just be the two of us traveling up there.
When it comes to the songs then, like, I imagine obviously you're writing it initially, you know, like guitar and voice with that in mind. Do you think the songs have like a different impact, or do you think about kind of the way that you deliver a song when you don't have, you know, say a James Wallace playing all these Rhodes and organs behind you?
Yeah, it definitely does change. It doesn't always change the way we play a song, but it does change what songs we feel most comfortable playing. There's some that we kind of keep off the set list when we don't have the full band to rock out with us. Or there's some that just, you know, sound a little bit naked without the rest of the band. And then there's some that I like playing as a duo more, like Casey Jane wrote a song called Eye for an Eye that's on the album. And I really like how simple and stripped down that one sounds with just harmony and guitar.
Yeah, it does. It makes it much more intimate when it's just the two of us. And it's fun to be able to do shows that way too, because that is how our band started. Like, it did start just me and Camille singing songs together and only focusing on the harmonies. So it's nice to get opportunities to do that too.
Well, regardless of how the setup is, I'm very much looking forward to seeing you at Folk Fest. Before I let you two go, I want to get you to pick a song each off of the record that we could play for listeners. And if you have a reason why you're picking it, or maybe an anecdote about the song, I'd love to hear that.
Absolutely. I'd like to pick the second single off the album, or I guess it's the, yeah. Is it the second single? Full Moon Night? It's the first single, right?
Yeah.
I get confused because it's the second song on the album. I really like what our band is doing on that song a lot. And I think that one, for me, really It kind of sums up all of the longing that I felt over that decade. And, you know, is such a theme on the album. So that's the one I'd like to pick.
Yeah, I think maybe, I think that's a good choice. I think I will pick Come Back to My Arms, kind of for similar reasons. I love what the band did on that album. And I think that you can really feel how live it was in the room. Because we did, you know, I think that we overdubbed some of the vocals, but most of that track was recorded live, and you can just really feel the energy from it. I'm really proud of that one.
Camille, your pick begs the question, how do you go about determining a single, or like what songs you release in what order these days?
We kind of already had in mind the songs that we wanted singles, and I think we had decided on three, and our Kurt over at Garhole Records helped us decide, and then we kind of had other people helping us. But yeah, I always felt really good about the three that we chose as singles, and they were the ones that just like flowed really well, and that we were, I guess, were most excited to share first.
All right, well, we'll give those two a listen. That'll give some folks a chance to meet the Lostines, as the album suggests. Casey, Jay, and Camille, thanks very much for taking some time to join us on the program. Safe travels, and looking forward to seeing you here.
Awesome. Thank you, Sam. Thank you for having us.
We're really excited.
Michael Wells, and you've been listening to a special podcast spotlighting the Lost Deans. We'll be performing on Saturday, July 13th at 1:30 p.m. at Little Stage in the Forest at the Winnipeg Folk Festival. To hear more featured artists, visit umfm.com and be sure to visit winnipegfolkfestival.ca to get tickets to this great event running July 11th through 14th at Birds Hill Park.